Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel today, Jesus gives us some instructions, including one of the most well-known instructions in the world today. Judge not, so that you may not be judged. It's well known, but of course not usually well applied, because you can't practice the first words of Jesus in today's gospel without first practicing what he said in the second part of today's gospel, and most people never do that. But we have to do that. What did Jesus say in the second part of the gospel? And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. When Jesus says in the first part of our gospel to judge not, condemn not, to forgive and to give, your natural reaction as a sinful human being may be to think of examples of people you know who do judge, of people who do condemn, of people who don't forgive or who don't give generously. But Jesus says, your first reaction should be to check your own eye for planks. Otherwise, you're just a hypocrite, a pretender, pretending to help someone else with a problem that you haven't yet addressed in yourself. A problem that is in yourself much greater, actually, than the problem that you see in your brother's eye. Jesus knows your sinful flesh better than you do. He knows that you are prone to judge when you have no business judging, to condemn when you have no business condemning. He knows that you are by nature inclined not to forgive the ones who have sinned against you, even if they ask for your forgiveness. And he knows that you are not given to giving freely and generously. It's easy to find faults in other people when it comes to judging, condemning, forgiving, and giving. But you're a fool even to attempt it until you first deal with yourself. And you deal with yourself by addressing any plank of impenitence, any plank of carnal security that you have in yourself that will forever keep you from seeing the right path, both for yourself and for anyone else. The call to repent first goes out to people as unbelievers, as the unbaptized, as those who are outside the kingdom of God, still dead in trespasses and sins, as the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians. Jesus doesn't try to get unbelievers to live a more righteous life. He doesn't tell unbelievers to be merciful. He's talking to believers, to his disciples, when he says, "Be merciful just as your Father in heaven is merciful." He's speaking to those who have been made sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus and through the adoption ceremony of holy baptism. To the unbeliever, he simply says, repent. Be crushed under the weight of God's holy law, because you lack true fear of God and true faith in God, so nothing you do can be good in God's sight. Be terrified and scared by the condemnation you have earned for yourself with your own judgmental, condemning, non-forgiving, stingy heart and all the words and deeds that have flowed from it. Repent and believe the good news that God the Heavenly Father has been merciful to all in giving His Son as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all, even taking your sinful, diseased heart and paying for it with His blood. God has given His Son to be the righteous man by whose righteous deeds He will judge all who believe in Him. In other words, those who believe in Jesus will not be judged according to their own deeds at all, but by His deeds. So He says, be baptized and wash away your sins. Be baptized and so be clothed with Christ in a robe of righteousness, and be assured that by faith in Him, you have already been adopted. You have God as your merciful Father in heaven. That puts us within a certain framework, if you will, in a covenant relationship with God. We Christians, we children of God, have been reborn into this framework. We now live between two bookends, as it were. The bookends of baptism on the one end and the resurrection of the dead on the other end in the future. That's now the time that we live in. We have not been given an easy life between these two bookends. As Paul points out in today's epistle, there is much suffering here, not only for us, but even for the creation itself. We have been given to struggle, to wrestle with our sinful flesh, to resist the devil and the world, to suffer in many ways and for many reasons. But what we have also been given in this life between the bookends of baptism and the resurrection of the dead is forgiveness and hope and a future. We, like the whole creation around us, have been subjected to hope. To be subjected to hope means that the hardships and the sufferings that we now have is not what we want. It's hard. It's not what we would choose for ourselves. It's sometimes painful. Because of the sin in this world, we are forced to live not by sight, but by faith, in hope. Hope that things will get better. Incomparably better, as St. Paul writes, in the future, knowing that the future begins at the resurrection of the dead. For now, we suffer and struggle and fight against our sinful flesh, but always with the sure and certain hope that something better is coming when Jesus comes. For now, during this age of hope, we have the Holy Spirit instructing us in the Scriptures and teaching us, reproving us and correcting us, training us and comforting us, so that we have all the divine strength we need to keep facing this life between the bookends, between baptism and the resurrection of the dead. Now, as those whose sight has been restored through repentance and faith in Christ, as God has revealed that plank that was there and removed it for us by the light of His Word, as those who have been subjected to the sure hope of eternal life, we can see Jesus' commands in the gospel in a new light. Therefore, be merciful, He says, just as your Father also is merciful. You have come to know the mercy of your Father in the person and in the words of Jesus. Now be like Him. As Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 5, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You have work to do during this time between the bookends as children of God. You've already received God's mercy in holy baptism. You know that glory awaits and hope. Now it's time to show mercy to your neighbor, as God has shown to you. Mercy that begins in the heart as sympathy, as care and compassion. And that compassion that begins in the heart is shown outwardly in many ways, including the ways that Jesus outlined in today's gospel. Judge not. Now, some people are in a position where it's their vocation to sit in judgment over other people. Judges, magistrates, ministers, parents over their children, teachers over their students, employers over their employees. But most of the judging that goes on in the world today is not the kind to which God has called people. It's sinful people sinfully, mercilessly pretending to play God in the life of their neighbor. As those whom God has chosen for the sake of Christ alone not to judge, even though he could, why would we go around judging the people we encounter? Instead, think of them with mercy. Condemn not, again, as those who have been freed from our well-deserved condemnation by the mercy and grace of God. Why would we go around condemning others? Now, mercifully pointing out how people are destroying themselves with their sins and then pointing them to Christ as their Savior? Yes. Mercilessly condemning? No. And you shall not be judged, and you shall not be condemned. You see, there God holds out hope again. An added incentive to withhold judgment now on your neighbor when we have no business judging him or her. An added incentive to refrain from condemning people because God holds out this hope of not being judged and not being condemned ourselves. Forgive and you will be forgiven. As Christians, we live daily in the forgiveness of sins. You received it in your baptism. You received it again today in the absolution at the beginning of the service. You receive it when you receive the gospel of Christ in general. It's not as if we're sitting here working hard at forgiving others in order to maybe someday earn God's forgiveness for ourselves. But as the baptized children of God, we are given a charge by our Heavenly Father to forgive those who repent of their sins against us. He's serious about it, and he adds a slice of hope again that God will respond in kind toward us, that he sees when we forgive those who sin against us and is pleased by it. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. God sees every gift that his children give, the big and the small. He sees it and he rejoices over it and even promises to reward it. All that hope, all that incentive tacked onto the merciful generosity that should characterize every Christian reborn in the image of our merciful Father. St. Paul expressed the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Remember hope. The hope that is yours in Christ Jesus during this life between the bookends. And may that hope enable you to be ever more merciful to your neighbor and to your brother, as your Father in heaven is merciful to you. As Jeremiah wrote in his Lamentations, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.